chat. Keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling. When you feeling them flares, they can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario, my stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so. No overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know. We getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. This is LaVon. So happy to be here with you guys. It's December 12th, 2014. Happy Friday. I've missed you guys a lot. Thank you for joining me. I am here with Mr. McKay, Chris, the Artful Activist.
Hello, how are y'all doing?
Hello. We have been pondering collectively, unbeknownst to us, the same things. So we thought we'd share with you our ideals objectively as well as subjectively in regards to love. Not only self-love, but communal love, brotherly love, sisterly love, neighborly love, whatever, love, all the kinds of love, sexy love, hateful love, ugly love, beautiful love. So if you are unaware, I like to talk about things other than current events slash political occurrences, just because I think in general a lot of that stuff is negative. And it breeds a certain type of emotion. And I think that culturally we are geared to be motivated by fear. And I try to do the opposite. I live in opposite land. It's the funnest place to be. So thanks for joining me. We're going to talk about a lot of interesting things. I like to encourage you guys to call in. Please do so. We are able to take calls. And let's see. Where to begin? Such a wonderful topic. I've been struggling with this recently, mostly because I wonder, was I shown genuine love as a child? I mean, yes, I can think of times, but overall it was really a lot of fear-based actions that I experienced.
Well, that's what most people experience. I mean, it makes it so that I don't think most people actually know how to even accept love or to actually perceive love out there. I think people have a lot of trouble because of the fear-based society that we live in. Even, like, when people see love given to them, it makes them push them away.
Yeah, why are people self-sabotaging in that regard? I know so many of my friends who are searching for this ideal individual to complete them, quote-unquote, not realizing that the self needs to be whole. Like, one whole plus one whole equals an awesome whole. You know what I mean? You can't look for someone to complete you. You have to complete you. That's very trying thing to do.
But is that truth? Is it? I mean, can people be completed without the benefit of others?
But here's the thing. Nobody's taught how to do that in society. We're just kind of like, hey, welcome to this plane of existence. Go learn stuff. Okay, now decide what you're going to do forever. Okay, now find your other half. Okay, now procreate. Okay, now retire. Okay, now travel. Okay, now die. It's just like everybody's got this ideal. Nobody's allowed to just be an experience. Everybody's suppressed in a way by these imposed ideals of what they're supposed to accomplish in their time here. So much pressure. Like, how do you know what to be or how to be? And
you never know that. You don't. You never know that. You just have to trust in that.
But we have to. My point is that most of us, we had this discussion a little earlier, come from a background whose family was involved in some sort of war. And what does that do to the mindset? And how does that affect the family of those? Most of us come from that, you know? It's just our civilizations over time are always fighting. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we were a community and everybody supported each other, and when someone was sad or going through a hard time, they knew that they had at least 50 people surrounding them who were going to just fill them with goodness? Like, you read about these tribes in other parts of the world who have that type of interaction. And I wonder, like, do they have crime? Are they murdering each other? You know, like, are their youth depressed and on medication? Like,
But look at your statements that you even made yourself in the beginning of that. You said, how do we know if they're the one? How do we know who's the right one? That's a fear-based statement itself. You're worrying.
What do you mean? What did I say?
In the beginning, you were talking about, when we were talking about, we were looking for the other one, other person to complete it.
I'm just saying that's a generalized ideal that people have, that I've realized, like, a common thread between people who I associate with. Like, that's their consensus is in their mind, like, all looking for that.
Yeah,
I'm not looking for that.
No, we both agree that the war-based society has made it so we push people away because we're always on defense, because our entire family tree, everybody's family tree, as you just said, is based on somebody being in war. So
it's
we have that violence in us from our family tree. So it's passed down from generation to generation that way. So that's where a lot of the fear comes from, along with all the fear of society itself today. Everybody is, it's a dog-eat-dog world.
Yeah.
And we're all wearing milk-bone underwear. So, I mean, in that sense, there we have to, we're so individualistic that we forget what somebody else actually brings to us, and we're always worrying about what that person is taking from us.
That's true.
We have to start thinking about the positives, as me and you were discussing earlier, about looking at the common grounds.
Yes, like what's similar between us? Like, how do we relate? Not, oh, that bothers me about them.
Look, and this isn't just on an individualistic scale on a relationship. This is society in general. We have to do that with our neighbors. We have to do that, and the cities have to do it with their neighboring cities as individuals if they want to keep everything as individuals.
Like, I noticed that we teach our kids from a young age to notice differences. We should be learning similarities, correct?
Correct.
Like, we need to start building this idea of connectedness, because, like, I realize I've studied biology and physiology and more recently metaphysics a lot, and quantum science shows us that this is a holograph. Everything is kinetic, and it's an illusion to think anything but. And people are so far separated from true reality. And in essence, everyone's like burning themselves, like touching their hand to a hot skillet over and over, and going, "Wow, why does my hand hurt?
Yeah.
Why does my hand hurt? Ow, my hand!" Can somebody turn off that damn fire? It boggles my... And this is where I suffer, because I try to be objective. I saw a TED Talk the other day, and it really got my mind going, where this guy was discussing how he exists objectively and how he struggles to identify with people. And I was like, oh my God, he's totally speaking my words. And the more and more he spoke, the more and more I realized, like, there I am. That's me in that form giving that talk. Like, I've essentially had every single one of those ideas, and that happens to me all the time. Like, nothing is original.
Well, no, nobody.
Everything that's ever been created has already been created.
Yeah.
It just cycles,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And what boggles my mind even more is that you only get credit for it if you're recognized. Like, people do things all the time that are greater than others, but it's just where you put the energy. So my next point is, if everything's energy, why are we wasting it? When every realm, we waste it.
Well, that's what we do. We waste energy on a daily basis.
We give it to fear, because that's what we know.
Yeah, look at how much energy is wasted guarding and protecting instead of embracing and loving.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we use every bit of our actions in society to defend instead of embrace. Whereas before in society, we didn't do that. 40 years ago, we would know our neighbors. We would help our neighbors. The community would get together. We're now, I mean...
I think a lot of the separation comes from post-industrial revolution, when people stopped essentially living in communities where they had local ingredients that they created, and they had trades, and they had skills, and they made crafts, and they shared and traded and bartered, and they had relationships with their neighbors, and they all had something to offer one another.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That brought the closeness.
Exactly.
The yeah.
And people but took care of each other. Things changed after that.
Well, we started having actually, I know this is going to sound insane in a way, but let me finish all the way through. We started having movements of equality rights movements for individual groups. We had the feminist movement. We had the African American equality movement. We had quite a few of them, but all those actually ever did was try to get equality to equal white privilege, not actually equality for all. So it was never done out of love. Those were all egotistical, self-centered movements. So and that's how society is. We always try to do things that benefit us first. Wherever we start living life, everybody just starts living life where we don't focus on us first, but focus love for everything around us.
Excuse me.
If we focus for love everything around us, and everybody else is focusing their love for everybody around them, then you're going to go back to the society where you actually have to communicate more with people. You actually have to help each other. But by creating the individualistic society that we have created, and this is mostly in the United States and a lot of the Western capitalistic societies, I mean, those societies have been, I got mine, you got yours, from the Grateful Dead, I guess. and it's just, that's how it is. That's how it is now. We don't even think differently on it. It's just how it is.
I think we should all think them in a quantum level. I think subjects in school should not be BS history. It should not be anything but teachings of the self. Everybody should understand to the complete capacity that is available at that time, because it's ever evolving, the function of their body and the inner workings of cellular communication and the importance of hydration in proper nutrition. Like, I think, I know this is going to sound crazy. My perspective objectively is that people have been starving for a very long time, not only monetarily,
emotionally, physically, but nutritionally, like, especially with the imposition of altered seeds, like, generation after generation has been suffering the consequence of factory food and the change in agriculture. And it's a stance that I take, and something very dear to me is, like, people are not functioning optimally because they suffer from chronic malnutrition, and they don't even know. Most people don't even drink proper water or water at all, and when they do drink water, they're not even drinking, like, real water, because their water is, like, injected with all this stuff that is not even isotonic. Like, even when you drink it, it doesn't even adhere properly to your cells because of its composure. Like,
and that will make it so that we can't think properly.
I'm just saying, like, how do you, in the world that moves so fast, and I often compare it to a tortoise and a hare. And I explain to my 6-year-old, honey, you're being a hare. Just slow down a little. What if you look at it this way? And I'm trying to teach him, like, just because everyone's going real, real fast doesn't mean you can't observe things and make another idea or create another perception, you know?
But you can, but if it's not a perception that's accepted in society, then it really exists only in your world.
I'm just saying, like, it's so hard. I understand why people suffer emotionally, as I think where we're getting at with this is because of the way that it's constructed and built. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People aren't nurtured properly, and then they suffer silently in this mold, you know? So how do we change it?
Well, you're never going to change it overnight. You can't. It's impossible. There's too many factors against you. I mean, technically, evil's pushing from a lot of directions.
Mm-hmm.
Or hate, or whatever you want to call it. It's pushing everybody in a direction.
I know the answer.
I'd love to hear it.
I do. I know the answer.
It can't be that simple of an answer.
It's so simple.
It can't be.
It's so simple. Einstein knew the answer.
Well, Einstein's crazy, though, too.
I'm a little crazy. I'm just crazy enough to understand what he was saying. And essentially, I'll get back to my point earlier, E equals MC squared. Action is always reaction. And I argue that the actions of fear have resulted in a certain reaction of the people. And there's been a certain ripple that has been felt for generations. Because certain people want control, and certain occurrences happened, and for a long time people have been living blindly and just operating systematically. Compartmentalization is a thing, and I wish for people to not only be functioning at optimal wellness and optimal manner, but to do what is in their best intention, or to do, like, what's in their heart, or to do what makes them happy. Like, I saw a picture of my girlfriend today. She was radiant and never looked more glorious. She's doing what she loves. She has the ability to do that. Not everybody has the ability to do that. And my argument is that if everybody had access to food, they didn't have to worry about buying food. They would have more time to invest in ventures that were dear to them and true to them. So I'm always going to say the manner in which we kickstart all of our societal problems is to grow food everywhere.
Well, would you touch, I mean, the economics are set up against you no matter what.
And I have faith it's gonna be awesome. I'm going to grow the most. Okay, guys, I'm so excited. You want to talk about law of attraction, something that I've been talking about for at least a year now on this program. And I used to talk about how I wanted this piece of land where I can grow food in Lemon Grove. And I pretty much designed it to the T, attributes that I thought would be ideal And here I sit in the most ideal spot. And I'm gonna grow the most magnificent garden. And I'm going to inspire all my neighbors to do the same. And all the people around here have giant pieces of land that they do nothing with. So I can't wait.
But you're gone from 6:30 in the morning till.
I have an idea. I have an idea, man. If we work like ants, it'll be fantastic. If you slow down for a moment, you realize like there's a lot going on in nature beyond consuming things, right? Like ants, there are more ants than anything in the world. And how do they exist? Like, do you have any idea?
Well, actually, ants are they all work together.
They do.
Yeah, they don't. But they also do. They have love. Or they just can they? There's only one main ant.
I think so. I mean, what about the ants that take care of the little babies? They love those babies.
Or is it just instinctual?
Well, okay. My concept of love.
No, meerkats. No, meerkats, they love.
Well, that's just obvious. No, but getting back to, like, essentially what we are, there's obviously some tangible tissue here, you know. Mind, body, spirit. You know, I think there are definitely aspects to us that is more than one. We call it mind, body, spirit. Some people call it chakra system. Like, we all have these different names for things. You know, essentially, we made all those words up too. Like, this is why I have a hard time talking to people. Like, I have to bring myself back into a different scale of recognizing things.
But, to get back to get humans back to being loving humans.
You have to remind them that they're not just this body.
Well, we have to remind them that they're supposed to be humane.
And they have to practice being.
Yeah, and
humane beings.
Yeah, they have to,
not unhumane movies, well, or Wigglies, or Deweys, or whatever you want to call it.
Most human beings.
There's some awesome work.
Yeah, they have no problem walking by suffering. They can walk by human suffering without a blink of an eye.
That. We're so conditioned to look the other way.
We have to be, or we wouldn't economically survive here. We cared about every. I mean, I care about a lot of humans. That I cared about every human that I knew was suffering, I mean, I'd be dead from trying too hard. So, like, love is a balance that you have to walk, but you have to always worry about yourself being.
Correct. And that's where I struggle, because we had this conversation the other day, too, is there's just a polarity and a fine line to everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be a boundary that is observed and practiced in certain situations, especially when it comes to love. Like, you've got to love somebody unconditionally, but not to the point that it's hazardous to either of you. Like, I recently loved somebody so hard that I picked them from the garden. You know how Osho says, if you love a flower, you let it be? I freaking dug him up. I exposed his roots to the sun. I put him in my pocket and I carried him there. Well, maybe it was like a little hydro system, but my point is that I uprooted him and I abused him with love, which is definitely a possibility. There was no boundary. Okay, I possessed him in a way. And that's not healthy and that's not true. And I felt guilty after a while because I realize, like, he can't be his whole self because I'm so involved in his being that there's no separation between the two of us. But he suffered because he wanted to be a being. you know, and he didn't know how to say it because he loved my love. But I didn't see it as healthy. I thought it was overwhelming, like not true. Because I think love is not possession. Love is existing in an easy space together that is pure and feels good. And, like, that's what I want to encourage people is, like, you know instinctually what's good and what's not good for you. Like, that first instinct that you always feel is usually the right one, like, all the time. All the time.
Oh, yeah, normally,
if you practice being, you cannot go wrong. Do you meditate?
Yeah.
Tell me about it. What's it like for you?
It just makes it so I can turn my brain off because my brain doesn't stop thinking. So for me, meditation is just something to quiet myself and to stop any type of anxiety that I have or anxiety. I mean, every human has anxiety today. I'm reading right now about how 70% of Americans are on antidepressants.
70%?
70%, yes.
That's alarming.
Why is that alarming?
Well, it just further solidifies the notion that we don't know how to be. Like, you weren't born to take drugs, like pharmaceuticals. You weren't born to exist in this place and ultimately suffer. Like, I struggle with that too. Like, if we're born from love, and I know that we are, we came here to suffer, and most religions of the world will say that.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree, like, suffering is what makes this existence true. But I think people suffer without the reward. Because I honestly like the burning. I like being distraught with my emotion. Because it allows me that time for introspection to go, huh, where's this coming from? I love that time in life because it's real, man. Like, but for me, I love finding the beauty and the pain. I love going, okay, what does it teach me? How am I going to apply it? Like, I've seen the craziest things. And that's my ultimate message to people is that you're only a collection of your experiences. How do you let them mold you? What do they teach you? How do they compose you? We're all affecting each other all the time. Like, our human being puts off an energy field of 15 feet. Like, that's pretty immense. Like, imagine how many people you're bumping into and sharing stuff with, like, consciously or unconsciously, all the time. What are you sharing? Like, and that's how you change it. Action equals reaction. Like, I haven't been present because I've been burning. I've been objectifying the occurrences in my life and finding the lessons within them because I know that you can only share what you have. And I didn't feel confident speaking to people about anything because I wasn't my whole self in that moment, you know, that time of reflection. But I wish that people would understand that it's okay to have feelings. Like, we're so bred to just operate. Things can move through you.
If we have feelings and we actually care about another human being, that takes away from our own individuality. That has to, because if you're going to interact with another human being, you're going to be giving some of your time, you're going to be giving some of your energy.
I talk about, I need to come up with a word for it. But there are three basic type of interactions that you can have with people. There can be a positive interaction where you both exchange good energy and you feel like, you know, you're energized and you're like, yes, that was awesome. There's one where you can deplete one another, like somebody's giving or taking. And then there's like a neutral. And you want to have those good ones. You want to have that. And like, you can attract that only in your life by creating it. It's scary how much you can create your reality.
Well, yeah, but you can create your own reality, but when 60% of the women in this country have been abused, when 70% are on medication.
And I wonder about that.
Well, you have to look at it. Well, I mean, there's got to be a correlation with it. There has to be.
Well, I think that...
You're making over half of your population has been traumatized by abuse.
And why? And because they were born from fear. And what are these people doing with it?
Well, and also whoever abused them was also afraid of not having control. So you got both sides have fear. Because usually abuses happen when somebody thinks they're losing control. Hmm. That's when abuse usually starts.
That makes sense.
So.
Well, there are all types of abuse. And I think that loving someone in a healthy way is a type of abuse. I think that saying mean words is a type of abuse. Hitting is a type of abuse.
Definitely.
I don't give a shit what context.
Violence promotes violence.
I don't give a shit what context. Hitting is not okay.
Well, violent language is not okay.
Yelling violent language. Yeah, saying shit is a big deal for me. Like, I don't even say four-letter words around my children. And when I do, I feel really guilty. Like,
I mean, you're just, having a potty mouth.
Well, my grandma was a little Polish sailor. Like, Polish-Irish, Native American, interesting mix. Like, she said the dirtiest things you'd ever hear. But she said them with love. And that's important. Like, it doesn't matter what you say, it's how you say it. You know, things have energy, and I think that a lot of, if you think of us as energetic beings in general, I think a lot of us come from that dark place, that dark matter, and I think that a lot of us are hoping and reaching for a light, and we're trying to show people with action that things can be different. Like, I was born from darkness. I was an abused child for a really long time by a lot of different people, and I'm still learning on how to be a functioning adult.
But you're a woman, you're abused from day one, actually.
I am a woman, and I struggle with being objectified.
Right.
You know how many men, now that I'm single, just send me the most perverted things that I've ever imagined? Like, yeah, I like sex. I like making love. I am a sexual creature. And it's...
Yeah, I don't like the term making love, actually, because that's how we mix love and sex and combine them in the same
way. Okay, I'm going to call it making magic, then, because magic happens when it happens.
You call it putting my penis inside somebody else?
penetration is a thing. There's penetration, then there's magic. We can differentiate them that way,
yeah.
If you like. But really, like, who taught these people that was acceptable? Like, there's such a disassociation with...
Well, mostly it's learned behavior from your family.
It's just animals, man. Yeah. Animals. And we're all going so fast. Nobody...
Okay, have you turned on TV lately?
I don't watch cable. I don't watch movies. It's
weird. You watch TV shows now, I guess, like Married with Children, Modern Family.
Married with Children's thing?
They're not Married with Children. I don't know, TV show. Modern Family, I'll just go with that. Modern Family and Married with Children, the same guys in it, I guess. NCIS. You look at Two and a Half Men. All these shows, there's always sexual implications towards women on every one of them. They're expected to have sex. with
women. Women do like sex.
Well, women love sex.
Yeah,
men.
It's just,
but the men are never told that they have to have it, where women are always told they have to have it.
Yes.
And that's where the connotation or the mixing of the word love and sex combines.
And I see a lot of my girlfriends suffer with that.
Every woman I know suffers from that.
Okay, so I have a girlfriend who's dating a guy who's a gentleman. He's amazing. He's so romantic and does things for her without sex. And she feels insecure because he's not having sex with her. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Appreciate him. Then I have this other girlfriend who longs for that type of commitment in relationship with her man, but they have awesome sex. But she's unhappy too. So it's like, you have people suffering either way, but we really just don't, nobody knows. But I think it's because everybody's lacking the being part.
Well, that, and or you can look at
nobody's
it.
A whole being, though.
I mean, as I said earlier, we have to give love and not expect it back, and everybody else has to give love and not expect it back, and then everybody be giving love.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's my philosophy. You know, love on, not off, man.
Bob Dylan says, "Can't be happy, Lord, unless you're happy too." I mean, we can try to be happy all the time, but if the other person or the other societal member isn't happy, we're never going to be happy, we're never going to be whole, we're never going to be
complete. It's not kinetic.
Right. The energy is displaced, even with one person, even we don't
exactly.
know.
Exactly, like there's a kink in the chain, right?
Exactly. So in order to fix all of that, we just have to stop expecting things.
And that's why I get so bitter around this time of year, because people are, oh, we're in the spirit, the holiday spirit, oh, so glorious. Cool story. You're making me vomit.
Yeah, yeah.
How about you get off your pedestal and realize that people suffer every day, all day? Probably people in your own family. Do you even know? Like, I'm trying my best to take care of the people in my sphere so that I can ripple out effectively. And I encourage people, like, reach out to the people who are your family, the people who take care of you, you take care of them.
Yeah.
That it's got to be
it's called a two-way street.
It's got to be a two-way street, a balanced equation, if you will.
Otherwise, it will cause, no matter what happens, if it's not a two-way street, you're going to end up walking into a road of dead end sooner or later.
Definitely. I see a lot of people, especially this time of year, fighting necessarily.
I mean,
a lot of people are stressed about money and buying stuff. Like, that does not matter. My girlfriend and I are really excited. We're going to make soap on Wednesday. We're going to put essential oil. We're going to make people some toothpaste and try and make people healthier and a little more conscious of the things they're putting in their body chemical-wise.
That seems to be like the ongoing theme this year, I think. Somebody else is doing that also.
Oh, really? Yeah, we've been doing that for a couple years.
You're doing oils and stuff.
Yeah, essential oils are really good. Mm-hmm. I use lavender in a lot of different things. My girlfriend taught me that. That's awesome. So the point is that action does equal reaction. You gotta
action equals reaction, but we are ultimately responsible for our own actions, even if it's a reaction to another action.
Exactly. Yeah. You have to determine how you're being composed by the behavior of others, because regardless if you accept it or not, everyone that you spend time with is affecting you. They're changing essentially your DNA based on their vibration. Mm-hmm. Like, essentially that is a thing. You know, I like to think on a quantum level. It gets me in trouble, but whatever.
Okay.
I don't care if it gets me in trouble. It's my existence, and I'm okay with it.
Okay.
I'm okay with it, man. I'm happy in Levon Land. It's good.
If we look at society nowadays, and we see how far it's falling apart, compared to...
I don't know. Maybe it's coming together. You say falling apart, I say coming
together.
Well,
out of chaos comes order. chaos comes over, always.
I love that people are going outside and going, we're mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore.
We're not doing that much. They should be doing it more.
Well, in other places, I think we should do it more in the United States.
Yeah, the rest of the world is, they're fed up with it.
Yeah, it seems like we're a little sedated.
Well, we're
too comfortable.
We're complacent.
Complacent is a good word.
Yeah, we're very complacent.
Well, we're medicated at the same time. We just determined, you know, like I didn't know that. We're unconscious of our conscious.
Yeah.
So that's why I try and teach people that they are infinite, amazing creatures, which you are. Don't forget it. Your emotions are affecting your body. You can create the manner in how you experience your world. There's some cool research being done in Finland via typograph. It reveals the different emotional states effects on the body. And after 5 experiments and over 700 participants, Sweden and Taiwan, they reported different emotions, right? And the scientists had very surprising consistencies. You can find more in the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. But basically, most emotions were associated with sensations of elevated activity in the upper chest, corresponding to changes in breathing and heart rate. And sensations in the head were shared across all emotions, reflecting psychological and changes in their expressions. But the bottom line is that the emotions that people experience have a physiological effect on the body. You literally send impulses to your muscles via your brain. Your brain connects via nerve, and that system is operational. But there's also an emotional factor that is carried along with that. And when you experience your reality, you have a response, a reaction to it. And it is moving through you as well. And how you receive it is important because it affects you, and you literally carry it in you. Like, for example, people in really stressful environments have a very specific pattern in their body. They seem to have very, very hot and localized areas such as the upper chest and head, especially when they have fear, anger, disgust. And opposites, when people are feeling happy, they show a lightness via the typograph. They seem neutral. You know, we talked about that neutral reaction earlier,
mm-hmm.
where people don't take or give. They just kind of are being. It's very interesting. And I practice holistic medicine, and I see hundreds of people a week. And the thing that is most profound to me, and the more research I realize supports this, is There's such a profound ability that people have between their heart and their mind that has an automatic and profound effect on the physiological being. And I see it demonstrated hundreds of times a week when I kindly look someone deep in the eye and I say, "You are the best doctor you have. You can essentially determine your wellness based on the input that you create." And some people don't believe me, but the ones that do, and the ones who cultivate it, and the ones who want to be well, and you know, they drink more water, they get more sleep, and they eat better food, or they do a certain stretch, or whatever the individual thing may be, the self-attention, the self-love, or the recognition of bad posture, or the realization that a certain pillow is causing a certain effect, or sitting on a wall it does a certain thing, or using a certain desk, or whatever the repetitive action the whatever self-detrimental thing, the I'm not good enough, I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'll never do good enough. Like, that is also a thing. And I encourage people, turn that off. You know, even the awareness of, oh, I'm doing these things to myself that are not beneficial. Something shifts. Oftentimes people are holding this experience, literally, like, you can feel it in their body, and I'm like, whoa, what happened, you know? Oh, I'm really stressed. Well, what are you stressed about? And I'm talking to them as I'm working on them. Well, my sister lied and did this and this and that, and, you know, it made me really sad, and you can feel it, like, tighten up in a certain area. And I'm like, well, how did that make you feel? And blah, blah, blah. They go into detail, and I'm like, you should let that go. You should really just let it go. You'd be amazed at the manner in which the muscle just goes. Literally, you can feel it go, and sometimes it pops, or like you can just see it melt. And it's so empowering to people. And that's just one example. Like, people can take control of their wellness. If, you know, like, you and I talked about cognitive therapy the other day, group therapy, and the power of people coming together and sharing their experiences and validating each other and supporting each other and self-healing, and just knowing that what you're feeling is a feeling sometimes is enough.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, but how, I mean, is it? That's even a little, I mean, because almost everything we do, they just did a, over in Berlin, they did a class workshop on the 21st century of love and defining it. And they came up with a summary at the end that talks about how other individuals can do 80% more in their life if they actually feel love from somebody else. But
because essentially everyone's a mirror, though.
Well, yeah, but they also found out that almost everything we do in one way or another, through consumer and purchases, to style and attitude, all are motivated by the desire to be desired, to be loved.
Well, that's inbred in us. We want to assimilate.
Yes, and the truth is, without others to value us, we are useless. We're useless. If we do so much, but nobody ever says, I love you, good job, it's really not worth anything to anybody.
Well, you need validation. We need to validate each other.
Because a human being wants to feel the attachment. They want to feel that they can actually rely on somebody.
Well, you know what it comes back down to? Is you're putting off energy.
Well, yeah.
You want to receive energy.
Yeah. You have to, yeah.
That's essentially all it comes down to. You are generating a signal, and you are broadcasting it.
Yes.
You want someone to pick it up and go, I hear you.
I feel you.
I feel what you're putting down.
I hear you.
I read the words that you're writing. Like, whatever the case, you want to be validated.
But we can't, because as humans, whenever we talk of any type of feelings, people feel they're being attacked. Whoever's listening, if it's about them, they feel they're attacked. Even if it's just somebody expressing their feelings with no remorse. To be human is to be compassionate, to be understanding, to have empathy, to be forgiving, and to remember the last thing, all humans are flawed. And if we do that, then we're humane. And we can do those five things, then we become humane. But we can't, because we always feel attacked. And everybody talks to us about it.
Some people are defensive, but
all of
I get defensive, especially when people talk to me in a condescending way. It's the manner in which words are said.
And instead of telling them that they're talking to you in a condescending way with no attitude, remorse, with no hurt feelings,
it's innate to get defensive.
Right, it's innate to get defensive, but if you can
We have to go, whoa.
Yeah.
Excuse me, what you just said makes me feel blah, blah, blah.
Without
being in attack, it's hard. Yeah. But that's part of my meditation. I practice relationship meditation. I practice mindfulness in the creation of my words and my vibration. Like, I like to try and be love on, not off, everywhere I go. And it's trying, but it's such a good practice to practice. It really is. Especially with my children, because I know that they are the future. They are my, all my action in them is going to equal so many reactions throughout their whole life, you know?
Yeah, but you also have, I mean...
Oh, everybody else's action is going to be part of the equation.
They're public school.
Oh, for now. Yeah. That's a whole other action. Oh, somebody's calling. Hold on. Hey, welcome to the show. I'm LaVon. Who is this?
One moment.
Oh,
hey, guys. Yeah. Hi, Chris.
Who is it?
Who do you think it is?
Alberto?
Alberto.
Oh, yes, that's me. It's San Diego's new favorite anti-hero.
Anti-hero.
Don't be anti-anything. This is a show
on love. We're talking about love.
Yeah, the show itself, it's the anti-media. Come on.
Aren't you the love machine? Tell me, what do you love?
Oh, yeah, pretty much, I wish I could be able to go back to square one. Pretty much, well, speaking about having to overachieve and excel, pretty much, I would have to at the very least disagree on your viewpoint. Pretty much that the main reason, pretty much, I don't think I'm like in the Billy Beane level, that pretty much that I hate losing more than I love winning, even though when I actually lose, I do hate it when I lose. Pretty much it's, the main thing is, I demand the progress, not just of others, but of myself. Pretty much I'm a very hungry person. Pretty much like trying to regather my ideas into my head currently.
It's good to strive to be better. Like, yeah, that's my point, is that we should all strive to be better every day so that we can, like, further
Don't hold it against ourselves or others when they fall back a step instead of falling forward a step in the day.
I guess it's going to come to controversial, my next word, but I guess that I gotta get them out and pretty much take them as well. Pretty much, let me see, progress, etc. Pretty much, like, I just wish I could remember what, hate having such short
okay.
memory.
It's okay, just relax.
Don't worry, I'm relaxed. Pretty much,
you were saying you disagree with my ideal of imposed.
Not imposed. Pretty much people should aspire to just be to do better, but pretty much to do better than what they think they could, even though they do not believe they could be able to pretty much pull it off at the moment. Pretty much either find some at least a figure, some to look up to, pretty much. And copy it.
Make it, man.
Find a little bit of a guiding light.
I agree. That's well said.
I think I remember why I wanted to say. Pretty much, the main reason why pretty much people who suffer have to overachieve, not just achieve, but overachieve, is to prove a point. It's pretty much at the very... Have you ever seen The Count of Monte Cristo?
Partially. Like, can I tell you a secret? I've seen a lot of movies, but I just don't pay attention enough to remember them. They just don't matter to me. I try so hard, I cannot do it physically.
Alright, I'll just give you the main sections of the story. It's about this guy with his girlfriend, whatever, he was there. Very poor guy got a message that apparently that Napoleon was gonna come back into France. He actually turned in the message to the authorities, being naively that they were gonna take care of it. And once they figure out that the and when the authorities thought that he was some sort of a spy and whatever, they imprisoned him and whatever. He was tortured for for a couple of years.
Whatever.
And then thanks to a mentor who helped him increase intellectually. Pretty much after those few years, when that man taking advantage of that mentor died, he was able to escape out of prison because that very mentor knew about some treasure hidden in an island. He was able to get to it, and he got so rich he was able to buy the title of a count. The Count of Monte Cristo, and he was able to get revenge on those who wronged him.
Okay, and your point is?
Well, pretty much, even though that they say that the best revenge is to live well, pretty much, I do not think having a brand new car and our money suit might be able to fill that, fill certain holes per se, aka, or any other Christmas gifts that you might be lucky to get on the 25th, but pretty much, well, in other words, that whenever you're able to not just succeed a little bit, but pretty much have genuine things to pretty much be happy for yourself, pretty much, hopefully one way or another, let the ones who wrong you in the past, just let them know and really rub it in.
Little love from San Diego's anti. Would you call yourself anti?
Yes. I'm apparently the San Diego's new favorite anti-hero.
Anti-hero. Thank you for your words of wisdom, kind sir. May I ask, what is your opinion in regards to the perpetual fear that society has been imposed? Via ancestors.
Well, there are multiple things to. What's the perpetual fear of?
Well, my point is that we're all born essentially from those who have been fighting wars. And what do you think that has done to our individual idea of what it is to feel love?
Well, at the very least, it would mitigate the pain a little bit, pretty much to at the very least forget that, a few things in the past, this and that, because, unless you're a psychopath, no one is born evil.
That's very interesting.
Just so I know we're at least on the same connection per se, so I don't miss the point. Like, what was your viewpoint and my, or did I give it a little half baked,
Well, your perception is your own. I am no judge of that, sir. I appreciate your opinion. I think that the important thing to remember about all the topics tonight is that regardless of your awareness, you are a collection of all the experiences and moments you're having or are to have. And you can be conscious of them and aware of how they affect you. And more importantly, how are your moments that you're creating for others affecting them? I think if we all have this adapted awareness of what is being done and what is to be done and how it is affecting everybody, either chosen or not, there can be some real changes to be made everywhere, internally and externally. Thank you for calling, buddy.
We'll
check you guys on Monday, same time, same place. Catch you all week, actually. Have a good night. Bye.
I'ma let them know, through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.